الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. For those brothers and sisters and honored guests who are unfamiliar with the Arabic language, the word that I just mentioned is part of an introductory speech which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use when he would speak. It means, perhaps we might translate it quickly as, indeed praise belongs to God, to Allah. We praise Him and we seek His aid, and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge with God from the evil temptations of our souls and from the wicked consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none to set him astray, and whoever Allah sets astray, there is none to guide him. And I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger and His prophet. The topic which I have chosen to discuss with you this evening is concerning the rational proofs used in the Quran. Many of you, upon hearing the title of this topic, might be somewhat surprised and saying, well, what does he exactly mean by the rational arguments or the rational evidences used by the Quran? Before I get into that in earnest, I would like to speak for a few moments about the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that God has given to humanity, of the blessing of our ability to reason, the faculties of reasoning. We all know that there are certain questions which every human being must at some time during their lives come across. Every human being at some time in his life is going to ask himself, why am I here on this earth? Every human being is going to ask of himself, to what end will I come to after my death? Is there a purpose for our existence here on earth? Is there something after death, or with death does everything end? What about the nature of the Creator, for those who believe in the existence of the Creator? And what is the aim for our existence on earth? These are all questions that human beings discuss either amongst themselves or entertain at some time of their life between themselves. And so therefore, our Creator, Allah, in the Quran, and for those who might not know, the Quran, Muslims believe, is the literal word of Allah, of God, which He revealed to His Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, has addressed these questions and has provided answers which we may, through these answers, know these essential truths. Why should we be concerned with this topic, the rational arguments employed by the Quran? Because humanity, in addressing these questions, usually chooses one of three paths. If we were to classify how human beings address these questions, we would find that human beings address these questions in one of three ways. The first way, which I'm sure many of you, since most of your public college students, are aware of, is that way of just intellectual speculation, whereby people will sit and think and try by their reasoning alone to find the answers of these questions. And this way has been known, or is known, as philosophy. However, this way does not provide the answers in itself. Others take a second path, and that is of spiritual exercise. They believe that if they were to do certain types of spiritual exercise, their soul will be released from the confines of their body, and then they would be able to understand the realities that they are searching. And this is known as mysticism. And in the Islamic framework, it's known as Sufism or Tasawwuf. And also, this doesn't provide the answer. But the way in order to know these matters is through the use of the way of the prophets and the messengers. Those men who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for humanity as guides. And through them, the answers to these questions are provided. This way of the Prophet in answering these questions is based upon three matters. The first matter is upon intellectual reasoning, investigating whether these prophets are true or not. When somebody claimed that he was a prophet, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's either one of two things. Either he's truthful in that claim, and he was truly a prophet sent by Allah, or alternatively, he lied. And so therefore, anything he would have said would be falsehood. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires of us to use our reasoning in order to investigate the truth. Is this person truly a prophet sent from God, from Allah? And so therefore what he brings is truth, or was his claim not true? Now, the second aspect of the way of the messengers is by believing that which God has revealed in the Quran, or in comes from the words of the Prophet. In other words, Allah tells us that after death certain things will happen to us. So since we have used our faculty in order to investigate whether the Prophet is true or not, then upon affirming that, whatever comes to us from the way of that Prophet, we accept and believe in. And the final way, the final aspect, is the use of prayer and spiritual methods in order to firmly root these beliefs in the soul. So then therefore the body and the individual reflect those beliefs which he holds. Now Allah in the Quran has told us about those people who, when entered into the hellfire, the angels will question them as to why are they in the hellfire. And Allah tells us that they say, لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. That the people in the hellfire will respond, had we listened to the Prophet, to the message, and had we used the faculties of our reasoning, we would have not been in the hellfire. So when the people who go to the hellfire are condemned there for all eternity, they will realize that their fault was what? They did not spend time and listen to the message, and they did not use the faculties of their reasoning in order to investigate whether that message was true or false. So, to understand the arguments used by the Quran is a way to save ourselves from this duel, from this punishment. Moreover, we know that when one uses these arguments and one is aware of these truths, arguments based in reason, his faith increases. Faith is a matter which increases and also weakens and lessens. When one does good deeds, his faith increases. And when one engages in sin, his faith lessens and weakens. And likewise, when one knows the arguments and the proof that shows the truth of his religion and his faith increases. And likewise, when he is unaware of these matters, his faith can weaken because the arguments of those who do not believe in his faith might take root in his heart. The third matter as to why this subject is important is that we all know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ فطوبى للغرباء. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that Islam began as something strange. In other words, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to humanity some 1400 years ago, the message of the Prophet before him were lost, and the message of the Prophet were distorted, and the people were either following a distorted message or were following a pagan religion which had no basis in revelation. So when the Prophet came with this truth of Islam, it was something strange. It was something unfamiliar. And so therefore, it was not accepted by the people. But then of course, Islam spread. And Islam reached throughout the earth. And people knew the truth which Allah sent his prophets with. However though, the Prophet informed us that as it was strange initially, it would return strange once again. And that is the meaning of his statement, and that it would return strange a second time. When one is in the time of strangeness, as Ibn Taymiyyah says, when he commented on this hadith, he needs to know these rational arguments used in the Quran as it was known when it first was revealed. And so therefore, our knowledge of these rational arguments is very important and necessary for us to strengthen our faith, and also it is necessary for us when we are preaching Islam, If you were now in the halls of your college to come across a person who did not believe in Islam, would you tell him, well, if he was to ask you about your religion and ask you why, would you say to him, because Allah has said so in the Quran? That is not an answer. Because in the first place, he doesn't accept that the Quran is the word of Allah. And so therefore, you would have to prove to him first that the Quran was the word of Allah in order to explain to him why did you do such a thing or why you do not do something. So to give an example, for instance, if somebody came to you and say, okay, why you do not eat pork? And you say, I do not eat pork because Allah has forbidden it in the Quran. And then he would say, well, why shouldn't we eat pork? You cannot say to him because Allah has just forbidden it in the Quran, because that is not a sufficient answer. But rather, you would have to first prove to him that the Quran is the word of Allah. And then once he accepted that this is truly the word of Allah, then he can understand that since God has forbidden it, since Allah has forbidden this matter, then therefore it is truth, and he would then therefore leave it. And so therefore the use of these rational arguments in calling people unto Allah is important. It strengthens our faith, it fortifies our faith, and also at the same time it's a means for calling people to Islam. But one thing we should understand, that the arguments used in the Quran, the arguments of reason, are not like the arguments of reason used by the philosophers. In other words, if those of you who have studied philosophy or logic would know that in their argumentation, their way of argumentation, they have to base it upon a premise, first and foremost. And if you accept that premise, or you concede to that premise, then you can go to the second level of the argument and so forth. However, the manner of the Quran in arguing with people, in using these proofs of reason, doesn't require a person to have accept an initial premise. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses matters which all of humanity agree upon its truth initially. And so therefore, there is no reason to have a premise which one has to concede to. These are matters which are self-evident in and of themselves. And so therefore, they are signs by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the truth of his religion and the truth of these matters of belief. Now, what I'd like to do in the hour or so that I have is take some of these rational arguments found in the Quran and let us discuss them and understand some of their meaning. We know that there are people who do not believe in the existence of Allah. They do not believe in the existence of a creator. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has answered these people, or has argued with these people through the arguments of reason in the Quran. One of these arguments used by Allah is a verse from the 52nd chapter, Surah Al-Fur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. These verses might be translated as, where Allah says, or were they created out of nothing? Or are they themselves the creators? Or did they create the heavens and the earth? This is a very strong argument. If you were now to travel in a land, let's say you went in some sort of pasture in England, and you found that the pasture was empty, there was no building there, there was nothing there, no anything. And then you came back some time later, and you found a building. And that building was not just built haphazardly, but rather it was built in the best form. Every single part having a purpose. Every single matter having a reason behind it. Working like clockwork. You would be certain that there must have been somebody who built that building. It couldn't have just occurred out of nowhere. It had to have somebody who put that building together. And so therefore Allah answers those people who do not believe in his existence with this argument. Were they created out of nothing? In other words, if somebody says he doesn't believe in the Creator, okay, was he created out of nothing? Did he just himself appear without any reason? How is it that we understand through reason ourselves that if we were to see a pin on the ground, we would be certain that somebody must have made that pin? So how about the human being who is in such perfection and is in such complexity? Is it reasonable that he would have just come together without any person or any instrument to bring him together? This is something that the mind testifies to its falsity, that it would just come together like that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
Or are they themselves the creator? In other words, if they are not going to acknowledge that they were created out of nothing, then the other choice is that they themselves are the creator. And this is also an impossibility, because we all know that none of us can extend their lives 1 minute, 1 second. If now death was to come upon you, you cannot make your life last any longer. If your heart was to stop beating, you yourself have no control over your heart to make it to continue to beat. And so therefore, if you cannot extend your life, how could you yourself bring yourself out of non-existence initially? This is an impossibility. So if they were not created out of nothing, and they themselves are not the creators, then what is the only answer possible? Somebody must have brought them into existence. There must be a creator. And so that the person would know that they themselves are not important, but that they are a weak creation, and a creation which is not that great, Allah then said, or did they create the heavens and the earth? In order to indicate to them that the heavens and the earth, in its majesty, in its vastness, in its greatness, is humanity compared to that is nothing. And so therefore, human beings should not feel that type of arrogance and think of their self-importance. These two verses is a strong argument that leaves a person who denies the existence of God with no answer. And while perhaps the English translation and my ability to express that is deficient, however, the Arabic, being the word of God, word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the strength of the word brings the person to a immediate submission to that. And that is why one of the pagans of Mecca said, when he heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite these verses in prayer while he was at Mecca, he felt that his heart was going to come out of his chest because of the power of these verses. And that was the cause for his becoming a Muslim. Likewise, we find another argument regarding the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a historical incident. And that is the incident between Ibrahim, the Prophet Abraham alayhi salam, and one of the kings, where the king argued with Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكِ إِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ الَّذِي يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ قَالَ أَنَا أُحْيِي وَأُمِيتُ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِي بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have you not considered the incident of the one who argued with Abraham regarding the existence of Allah? And he argued because he himself was a king, and so therefore he felt that he was a person of power. Ibrahim said to him, my Lord is the one who gives life and death. So the king said, I give life and death. And it's reported that he took a person who was innocent and executed him, and took a person who was condemned to death and let him free. So he said, I give life and death. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him that Allah brings the sun from the east, so bring it from the west. At this time, the unbeliever was unable to respond. So here is another example of a rational argument used by the Quran for those people who consider or attribute to themselves divinity. Attribute to themselves divinity. I remember one time, many years ago, I came across a person in the United States who said that he had divine powers. So I asked him, I said, okay then, make it rain now. And he couldn't make it rain, obviously. And this is an example from the argument of the Quran that when they are asked,
please speak up.
I'll try to raise my voice. So the point is that when people claim divinity, one requires of them to show that divinity that they claim unto themselves. And this is another argument used by the Quran. Okay, another argument used by the Quran is concerning those who claim divinity for the Prophet Jesus alayhi salam. We know that in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were Christians, and still today there are Christians. Christians being maybe one fourth of the world, and this country is a Christian country. And the looking at the emblem of the university has a cross on it. So these people believe that Jesus, the son of Mary, was A, is God or the Son of God, depending upon their religious persuasion. Allah has argued with them in the Quran and has shown them the error of their beliefs. One of the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in that is that he says, مَا الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقًا كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ انظر كيف نبين لهم الآيات ثم انظر أنهم يؤفكون أنا يؤفكون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Messiah, son of Mary, was only a messenger. And before him, other messengers passed. In other words, his appearance was nothing strange. Before him, there were other prophets and messengers. And this is something that the Christians agree to. They agree that before Jesus, the son of Mary, there were other prophets, like the prophet Moses, like Abraham, like Noah, and others. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says his mother was a righteous woman. And then he says they both ate food. And then Allah says, behold how we make clear the signs to them, then behold how they swerve from the truth. What is the reason? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that after mentioning that Isa, Jesus the son of Mary, was a messenger, and his woman was a righteous woman, and then his mother was a righteous woman, and then Allah said they both ate food? What was the wisdom behind that? Because in that there is an argument and a refutation of the ascription of divinity to Jesus the son of Mary. In that if Isa ibn Maryam, if Jesus the son of Mary and his mother were in need of food, it means that their body is in need of sustenance and their body is in need of rejuvenation. So if that means that there is a deficiency in their existence, so therefore how could he be the creator of all existence who is perfect and not in need of that? The second argument is that all of us know that when one eats food, he also releases waste from his food. I mean, the food is digested, right? And then what is not digested is released and passes from the body. This is something which human beings recognize as a deficiency, as something which is shameful, and something which is unbecoming, and something which is hidden. And that's why people, when they release their body waste, they do it in private. Now, if this is something, would this befit the creator of the heavens and the earth to be like that? And so therefore this is a rational argument used against the Christians. Likewise, another rational argument used in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو أردنا أن نتخذ لهوا لاتخذنا من لدنا إن كنا فاعلين بل نقذف بالحق على الباطل فيدمغه فإذا هو زاهق. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that were we to have taken for ourselves a diversion, in other words, were we to take for ourselves a child or some sort of inheritor, we would have taken it from that which we have created, and had we done so. And then Allah says, nay, but we hurled the truth against falsehood, and it prevails over it, and behold, falsehood vanishes away. What does this verse mean? That had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to take a son, adopt a son, that son of his would not be from earthly matter and have all these human frailties, but would be of that creation of the, which befits to live in the heavens. Because the creatures which live in the higher heavens, as the Christians would recognize, like the angels, do not have the weaknesses and the frailties and the faults that the human beings have which live on earth. And so therefore, had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have adopted a son or taken a son, or that diversion would have been of those high creatures and not would have been of this lowly human creature. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says afterwards, nay, but we hurled the truth against the falsehood, meaning that this argument strikes falsehood, and the Arabic word is فَيَدْمَغَهُ, which means it knocks the brains out of falsehood, means it brings it to an end, and then falsehood vanishes away because of the strength of this argument. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has addressed the arguments regarding those people who worship intercessors and take intercessors between him and between themselves and him, and asking these intercessors to pray for them, for on their behalf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we all know that there are certain people, you find them amongst Muslims, you find them amongst Christians, you find them amongst pagan people. These people will take a righteous person and then we'll pray to the righteous person in the hope that the righteous person will then pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or petition Allah on their behalf. This is called shirk, and this is a sin which God does not forgive. So Allah refuted this belief in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ اِدْعُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَهُمْ فِيهِمَا مِنْ شِرْكٍ وَمَا لَهُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ ظَهِيرٍ وَلَا تَنْفَعُ الشَّفَاعَةَ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, call upon those who you have asserted as intercessors apart from Allah. They possess not so much as a weight of the ant in the heavens and the earth, and they have no partnership in either of them, nor does he have any supporter or any assistance from them. And intercession will not avail with him, save for him to whom he gives leave. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions four arguments against those people who take intermediaries in prayer. The first argument is that these intermediaries do not possess anything in the heavens and the earth. They have no sovereignty in the heavens and the earth. So therefore, if they do not have any sovereignty, if they do not possess anything, they cannot bring benefits to you. Because a person prays to an object in his belief that that object will bring him benefit, or that object will prevent harm from him. And so therefore, when Allah negates that these people, these intermediaries, possess any benefit in the heavens and the earth, possess anything of the heavens and the earth, then therefore to pray to them is false.